Colleagues, good morning and welcome to the conference call of BMW Group interim report or second quarter 2013. First, as always, Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichiner, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG Finance, will give you an overview of the business development. After that, you will be given the opportunity to ask your questions. I'll pass the floor to Dr. Reithofer. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today, more than ever before, our industry is undergoing a dramatic change. New technologies, business fields, and service offerings for customers are opening up new perspectives and growth opportunities. This fundamental transformation requires innovative strength, flexibility, and new ways of thinking, but most of all, it requires the determination to act. It is a question of finding the right balance between evolution and revolution, and being innovative in both. 3 days ago, we showed you what we mean by revolution when we unveiled the BMW Group's first all-electric vehicle in New York, Beijing, and London simultaneously. With the BMW i3, we are tailoring sheer driving pleasure to suit the needs of cities and megacities in the 21st century. For us, the BMW i3 is just the first step in the revolution. The next step is to come in 2014. That's when our BMW i8 plug-in hybrid with a three-cylinder petrol engine will be launched on the market. So what makes BMW i a game changer in the automotive industry? The BMW i3 was designed around an electric powertrain. The BMW i3 consists of a unique vehicle concept that comprises a life module and a drive module. The BMW i3 production resources and used efficiently. Powered by energy generated from wind and water, i3 production is venturing into the entirely new territory. The BMW i3 is our response to the ever tougher CO2 requirements set by many countries around the world. It's also a solution for increasing regulations facing individual mobility in many large cities. BMW i3 is premium through and through. Many of you have driven the BMW i3 themselves at the pre-drive and have reported about it. One daily newspaper here in Germany wrote the following about the BMW i3. Ultimately, the BMW i3 seems so well balanced. It's as if the last 125 years in the auto industry have merely been paving the way for this truly emotional yet totally sensible car. A British newspaper said about the i3, judged on its innovative style alone, which is refreshingly modern and unlike any other car on sale today, at long last, an electric car that is desirable. Positive media responses like these will start the process of people overcoming their reservations about electric mobility. The BMW i3 is a true BMW, and it drives like a true BMW. It reaches the European market in November this year, and that's when our customers will get to enjoy this unique driving experience. For us, the decision to enter the world of electric mobility was made with our long-term, I repeat, long-term business success in mind. It's part of our strategy up to 2020. Our development work on future drive systems is guided by a clear maxim, intelligent spectrum. The same is true of our path towards zero emissions mobility. For urban areas, we have the electric BMW i3. For slightly longer distances, we have our plug-in hybrids, such as BMW i8. And long distance, we're looking into solutions such as fuel cell-powered electric motors. In the future, options like this will offer short refueling times and enable long-distance travel with zero emissions. In terms of technology, we're, of course, cooperating with Toyota Motor Corporation. Here, too, we believe purpose-built vehicle architecture is the right approach for a serious vehicle in the future. This is the same as our BMW i family today. And in this evolution, we continue to enhance the efficiency of our conventionally powered vehicle range with our efficient dynamic program. Since 1995, BMW Group has reduced its fleet CO2 emissions faster than any other European car company. At the moment, our customers can choose between 36 models with 120 grams CO2 per kilometer or less. Our fleet average currently stands at 138 grams CO2 per kilometer. By 2020, the EU has set an average of 95 grams CO2 per kilometer. That means we must continue investing in the electrification of our vehicles. Yet in order to do so, we need to remain profitable. We want to continue our success in the current business year. Our goals for 2013 are new record sales at group level, a pre-tax profit at group level, similar to previous year's level, and an EBIT margin for the automotive segment within our stated target range of 8 to 10%. These targets reflect what we mean by premium. After the first 6 months of 2013, we remain on track to achieve our goals for the year as a whole. However, our forecast assumes that global economic and political conditions do not worsen significantly. So where do we stand after the first 6 months? In the first half of 2013, we sold more than 954,000 vehicles around the world. That's up 6% for the first half of 2012. We sold more BMW, Mini and Rolls-Royce vehicles than ever before in this period. Pre-tax profits on group level reached more than 4 billion euros, which is close to what we achieved in the same period last year. Net profit on a group level rose to more than 2.7 billion euros. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment currently stands at 9.8%, which is the upper end of our 8 to 10% profitability range. However, business and political conditions remain uncertain and highly volatile. Our sales figures reflect this fact, and their development was uneven. In America and Asia, sales were up in the first half of this year. In Europe, sales remain at a similar level to that of last year's. Conditions remain challenging in a number of European markets. A tougher economic climate means tougher competition in the premium segment as well as elsewhere. We are countering these challenging developments with attractive new models. Besides the forthcoming all-electric BMW i3, what can our customers look forward to in the second half of this year? There's the updated BMW 5 Series, the new BMW X5, the BMW 4 Series Coupe, and the Rolls-Royce Wraith. Ladies and gentlemen, at BMW Group, we've always taken a long-term approach. That's why we're making some major investments right now to ensure we continue our success in the future. These investments are focused on new technologies, facilities, new models, and innovative mobility services. These investments will keep us strong as an innovator and secure market share as well as jobs in the future. We are making these decisions with careful consideration. We prioritize our projects according to how much they secure the future success of the BMW Group. This gives us the ability we need to realize groundbreaking ideas like BMW i. Meanwhile, in our core business, we continue to promote evolutionary advances. 2013 and 14 will see 25 new models reach the market, and 10 of them are completely new. In the 15 years between 2005 and 2020, that's within a range of 15 years, our model range will have tripled in size. In 2014, BMW Motorrad will also enter the world of electric mobility with the BMW C Evolution electric scooter. At the same time, we're refocusing BMW Motorrad on urban mobility. In 2014, the BMW Active Tourer will come onto the market. It'll be the first with a front-wheel drive. Mini and BMW will introduce modular 3- and 4-cylinder petrol and diesel engines, allowing us to benefit from economies of scale. All this goes to show that our business is becoming increasingly complex, the markets are becoming increasingly volatile, and the political environment is more demanding. But at the BMW Group, challenges are what drive us. We intend to remain industry leader, and that's why we are ushering in a new era of mobility with the BMW A. That shows we plan to continue being the architects of our future. That's what makes us BMW premium. Thanks for your attention. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer. Dr. Eichner, you have the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from me as well. The second quarter was characterized by a more difficult situation in the European markets. Nevertheless, the BMW Group has posted record sales and was successful overall. This is thanks primarily to our overseas markets. Profitability remains within our target range, despite the previously announced major investments in growth and future projects. Retail sales reached a new high of more than 506,000 units in the second quarter. That's an increase of 6.6% over the same period last year. The BMW Group benefited from its young and attractive model lineup, especially the BMW brand, which has a strong position in all vehicle classes. Sales of our Mini and Rolls-Royce premium brands also performed according to plan. Our core 3 Series, 5 Series, 6 and 7 Series all remain segment leaders. Generally, our SAV models are strong in demand. The strongest growth was reported by the X1, which is also number one in its segment. Our broad global presence was another advantage. We were able to offset declining demand in Europe with strong gains in Asia and the Americas, in particular, and reallocated vehicles accordingly. However, we cannot fully escape the challenges in our home region. Like other manufacturers, we're experiencing competitive pressure, especially in the southern European markets. Even Germany saw a decrease of about 8% in new vehicle registrations. In Western Europe, only the UK performed well. The premium segment in France and Italy contracted, which also impacted our premium brands. We maintained the same level of sales in the European region as last year. Overall, market development in Western Europe was much weaker than previously forecasted. We now no longer expect to see a reversal of this trend in 2013, and we're preparing to face a persistently difficult market environment. We've benefited from sales growth outside of Europe, especially in the United States and in China. The recovery of the U.S. economy and housing market gave demand a boost. In the first 6 months of the year, we delivered more than 173,000 vehicles to customers in the U.S., an increase of 8.9%. The financial services segment also benefited from growth in this traditionally strong leasing market. In China, we sold more than 183,000 vehicles, which is an increase of 15%. The gains in China came mostly from locally produced models. In the second half of the year, we expect to see further growth from the 3 Series GT and the new X5. Over the summer months, we predict strong growth in our two largest markets, US and China. Although the current product momentum also reflects base effects, we expect growth to be sustained throughout the second half of the year. At a group level, revenues climbed to more than 19.55 billion euros in the second quarter. Our quarterly earnings before taxes reached 2.03 billion euros, a 2.8% increase over the same value last year's quarter. We continued our previously announced expenditures and investments in our production network in the second quarter. The group's R&D cost totaled 1 billion euros for the second quarter, which is a slight increase over the previous year. Our R&D activities continue to focus on the development of new models, alternative drivetrains, and lightweight technologies as we strengthen our leading position in these fields. The R&D ratio for the first half year stood at 5.3% of group revenues. This is within our target range of 5 to 5.5% of revenues. As previously announced, we will exceed our target range for the year as a whole. The BMW Group's capital expenditure for the first 6 months totaled 2.4 billion euros. This represents an increase of 60% over the same period last year. Preparations for series production of the BMW i3 are now complete. We plan to continue expanding our entire vehicle portfolio and paving the way for the next phase of growth. Right now, we are also preparing for this growth in our plants, where capacity utilization is already very high. This expansion is crucial to the vehicle projects planned for the coming years. We also continue to invest in developing new business areas. The CapEx ratio for the first half year stood at 6.4% of revenues. As previously announced, we will exceed our CapEx target of below 7% of revenues over the full year. Capital expenditure will rise as usual in the second half of the year. As per 30th of June, group liquidity totaled almost 11 billion euros. Our liquid assets position therefore remains solid. Now let's move on to the automotive segment. The automotive segment had revenues of 18.2 billion euros in the second quarter. EBIT for the automotive segment totaled almost 1.76 billion euros. As previously announced, the automotive segment also made upfront investments in future projects. Over the full year, we expect an incremental burden of around 1 billion euros. The first half of 2013 was impacted to a less extent by this, which had a positive effect on earnings development in the second quarter. The planned expenditures will be accrued for the most part in the second half of the year. Our profitability for the second quarter of 2013 was at the upper end of our target range of 8 to 10%. The EBIT margin for the segment stood at 9.6%. Dynamic business trends within the segment generated a strong operating cash flow and a free cash flow of more than 1 billion euros for the second quarter. Free cash flow for the first 6 months of the year totaled almost 1.7 billion euros. We still expect to generate a strong free cash flow for 2013, although this is likely to remain under 3 billion euros for the full year, primarily due to the significant increase in capital expenditure, especially in the second half of the year. As per 30th of June, net financial assets in the automotive segment amounted to almost 13.3 billion euros. Ladies and gentlemen, the financial services segment continued its positive business performance in the second quarter. Our growing automotive business and strong demand for financial services are generating sustained growth in this segment. Financial services concluded more than 388,000 leasing and financing contracts with retail customers in the second quarter. This represents a 12.2% increase over the same period last year. In Europe, the main gains were in the UK, with growth also in Americas and in the Asia-Pacific region. As per 30th of June, the total number of serviced contracts in place had risen to 3.98 million contracts. Thanks to this strong growth, financial services generate a quarterly pre-tax profit at 467 million euros, which is an increase of 8.4% year-on-year. The percentage of the new BMW Group vehicles leased or financed by the financial services segment reached 44.5% for the year to the end of June. This increase of 5.8 percentage points compared to the same quarter last year is mainly due to new business in the US and China. The risk situation is largely unchanged from last quarter. As expected, credit risks have remained stable in Asia and the Americas. However, the situation is still difficult in southern and western European markets, although we do not anticipate any significant deterioration over the short term. Still, provisions have been made to cover potential risks. The used car business remained stable in the Americas and Asia in the second quarter. However, prices decreased slightly in a number of European markets, thus increasing pressure on residual values. We expect market performance to remain uneven during the second half of the year, and we have factored this potential volatility and pressure in the European markets into our risk provisions. Let's take a look at our motorcycle segment. We delivered more than 40,000 BMW motorcycles to customers in the second quarter of 2013, a plus of nearly 16% over the same period last year. In its anniversary year, BMW Motorrad reported the best quarterly and half-year sales in its 90-year history. The segment's strong sales growth was generated by the new models. Together, the new F800 GT, special anniversary models, and a new R1200 GS beat the overall downward market trend. The growth at BMW Motorrad in the first half of the year mainly came from the US, Brazil, and Japan. But BMW Motorrad also made gains in its primary market in Germany and other Western European countries. Second quarter revenues climbed to 475 million euros, with an EBIT of 46 million euros for the same period. BMW Motorrad's young and attractive model lineup is expected to further develop sales in the second half of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group is currently on course to meet its guidance for the full year. We have accomplished this despite deterioration of the situation in Europe, especially the Western European markets. This demonstrates our strength. We continue to benefit from our robust strategic alignment, our strong premium brands, and our undisputed position as an innovation leader. The BMW Group is investing heavily in its future this year. These investments are vital to the group's continued profitable growth over the long term. We will certainly feel the impact of the expenditures and upfront investments in future projects I mentioned earlier over the rest of the year. This includes market launch and ramp-up costs for the BMW i3 and other new models in the second half of the year. We continue to benefit from our attractive product portfolio and global market presence. The BMW Group is aiming for a new sales record for the full year. That is, as long as markets in Asia and the Americas continue to perform well and there's no further deterioration in the European markets. The BMW Group is targeting pre-tax earnings for the full year on a similar scale to that reported in 2012. We are also maintaining our target range of 8-10% for EBIT margin in the automotive segment. The target for the financial services segment is a return on equity of at least 18%. We also expect the positive business development in the motorcycle segment to continue. We're working hard to continue our successful course and confirm these targets, assuming that economic and political conditions do not worsen significantly. In other words, the BMW Group remains geared towards sustainable profitability and growth. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Eichinger. Colleagues, there's now time to take your questions. I'd like to now ask the colleagues to give you the technical instructions for the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin with the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, press telephone keys 0 and 1. Your questions will be then taken in the order received. In case you're listening over your loudspeaker, I'd like to ask you to ask your questions using the receiver of your telephone. Thank you, and a moment for the first question. First question, Sebastian Rabe, DPA. Good morning, everyone. I have a question about the fuel cell. If I've understood you correctly, you said that similar to the BMW i series, you have in mind a separate architecture for fuel cell vehicles. Could you perhaps elaborate on this? What's the horizon with respect to time? Or are you going to establish another brand for this? And how long would it take? And what does that project mean for your actual fleet if, apart from e-mobility, you start launching vehicles with a separate brand using a fuel cell? Thank you, Mr. Rabe. Dr. Reithofer, please. Well, a general remark. What we have in mind is that together with Toyota, we want to develop a fundamental fuel cell vehicle concept. And I'm just mentioning a couple of things. This would also cover the battery, the engine, and that is to be completed by 2020 in terms of development. Now, what this vehicle will look like, it's much too early at this stage to say anything about it. We set ourselves two bookmarks, 2015 and 2020. 2015, we want to be able to build cars with fuel cells on a small scale, and 2020, as I said, together with Toyota, we want to have developed a fundamental fuel cell vehicle system. Thank you. Next question, please. Mr. Reitka, Plattobrief. Good morning. I have two questions, if I may. First of all, Mr. Eichinger, you said that investment over the course of the year will still be an extra burden. I wonder whether there's anything you can do about costs, on the other hand. Are there any programs or measures in place, or are you considering taking such measures? That's one question. And then, with regard to the markets, you have been very careful with your forecast for this year. I'd be interested in getting your guidance for next year, especially seeing that competitors from Stuttgart have expressed themselves in more positive terms. Thank you, Mr. Reipka. We'll begin answering the second part of your question, Markets Outlook 2014, Dr. Reithofer, and then Dr. Aichina. Well, Mr. Reipka, we're of the opinion that in the second quarter 2013 in Europe, we will not see any improvement of the markets. We think the European markets will probably remain on the same level as in the first 6 months. In all, for Europe, we expect a slightly declining market of between 4 and 5%. Now, if there's any light at the end of the tunnel, then we don't see that before the second half of 2014. And I'm talking about Europe here. And before, in my presentation, I said that in the period I just mentioned, at least until the middle of 2014, Europe will remain a challenging market. And this is, of course, also reflected in considerable competitive pressure. We assume that the markets in the US and in China and in many smaller countries such as Russia, Turkey, South Korea, and so on, will continue to develop positively. But as I said, the major challenge will be Europe, at least until the middle of 2014. Positive signals that others see in 2013, well, we don't see them. Second part of the question, investment, that's or possible further burdens. Dr. Aichina. Well, as announced, especially in the second half, investment will go up according to our plans. This is related to the expansion of our production system on the one hand. The plants are working at full capacity at BMW. That means we need to go further. And we also need to develop new technologies that we need in order to meet our demanding objectives, such as those related to CO2. This is what we had announced, and this is what will come. That means our CapEx ratio of 7% will definitely be exceeded. Now, your question, do we work against this on the cost side? Yes, of course we do. There are major initiatives going on at the company in the moment, projects in order to increase efficiencies that relates to the entire development process, including production and purchasing, but then also sales process. We've also taken major steps to streamline our administration. For example, our IT was realigned and centralized. That's something we're, of course, working on because we know we need to invest into our future, and we will try to, yeah, of course, save costs as well. Are there any results you can report already in terms of cost savings? Well, we said the total net burden this year, taken everything together, expenditure into the future, savings that we have, we will not be able to fully compensate these expenses. The net burden will be roughly 1 billion this year that will remain. Thank you. Next question. Mr. Johansen, Leipziger Volkszeitung. Well, it's the I3 I'd like to talk about. Can you tell us how much of your investment in the first 6 months and the second is attributable to the I2 project? And then, Mr. Eichner, you said in the second half of the year you expect impulses from the 3 Series GT, you didn't mention the I3 in September. Do you not expect any momentum from this, or is this so new that you don't want to mention it? Thank you, Mr. Johansen. Dr. Reichthofer would like to say something about the I3, and then Mr. Eichner. Okay. This is a statement you can get from me personally. We did not forget the I3, but the I3 will fall into the 2014 business year, mainly because we'll only launch it in the second half of 2013, and then we will slowly ramp up production, and we'll have full production in 2014. As far as the I3 is concerned, we will concentrate on 2013, of course. And now back to the question about investment. Now, investment for the I3 is something we've already made. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to launch it. Now, everything's got to be ready now, because otherwise in the second half, it wouldn't be possible. But then the market launch, of course, places an additional burden on us with respect to cost, because now we need to launch communication. It's an independent brand or sub-brand. that iBrand that we're communicating, and that, of course, involves certain costs. Okay, thank you. Next question, please. Mrs. Preisinger, Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to get back to Europe, Mr. Reithofer. In the spring, you sounded a lot more pessimistic. You forecasted there'd be no improvement in Europe over years, and now you're only talking about 1 year, and then there could be an upswing. Now, what has changed your opinion about this? And then about the e-car, I'd like to know, how about the project in China? How is that progressing? And is there any synergy effects, perhaps, with the i3? Is there anything where you could make use of synergy effects? And then a more general question, because there's also elections in the autumn. What do you expect from a new government, no matter which party it will be? Well, Mrs. Preisinger, that was quite a comprehensive question, really. We'll try and break this down. I think Mr. Reithofer will start. Well, Mrs. Preisinger, my assessment as far as Europe is concerned has not changed. What I said last time, I didn't say this time again, but not too long ago I said that there are two conceivable scenarios. The first one is that the automotive industry, starting second half of 2014, will see a slight upward trend, meaning we've reached the bottom and we will be moving up. And I said that I cannot imagine that this will take place in the second half of 2013 yet, and we don't see any indications that this is the case anyway. But I also said that there are some people, politics and among banks, saying that the entire euro crisis will accompany us for the next 4 or 5 years. This is what I said some time ago. And as far as the BMW Group is concerned, we are bearing in mind both possible scenarios, and for both scenarios we've prepared our plans. And that's a statement I can uphold. Now, the e-car in China, Mr. Eichiner? Okay, and then you about the elections. Well, Dr. Eichiner first. Okay, about the Sinoro brand. Sinoro is an independent brand, and it has nothing to do with BMW i. You're asking about synergies. Well, we will not see a copy of the i3 there. I would like to explicitly emphasize this, but the know-how we have in the field of e-mobility, or that we have gained, will of course be made use of to make Sinoro a competitive product. Yes, of course, but the i3 has nothing to do with what we're doing there. Okay, the last part of your question related to the elections of federal parliament and our expectations. Back to Mr. Reithofer. Well, I cannot give you a forecast for the elections, as you can imagine, and I don't want to tell you what I'm going to vote for. You cannot expect me to do that. What's important to us, to get back to seriously answering the question, Germany as a location for automobile manufacturers is, of course, important to us, and we believe that in Germany as a business location, we need to maintain a certain degree of production, because without having production in an industrial location, that's something I simply can't imagine. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and this is important to me. Now, what do we expect from politics? This is something that has to do with overall European economics, really. I continue to believe that at the moment, the CO2 limits for 2025 that are being discussed between 68 and 78 grams, well, we cannot imagine how we can ever achieve those in 2025, because by then, that's less than two development cycles away. For 2020, well, we've accepted the 95 grams, as you know. We're fighting for super credits because we believe that super credits will support the introduction of e-vehicles, and will also support manufacturers which launch this technology early. By the way, this would also be supported by a banking, by an offsetting of super credits. And I also know, if you permit me to say this, I know that there are some people who say If governments were to make possible super credits, then manufacturers such as BMW, for example, wouldn't have to do anything on the conventional side anymore. But if you look at what we're doing, we are introducing three-cylinder engines. We're introducing a car such as the BMW Active Tourer, first front-wheel drive, three-cylinder drive engine. Until 2020, we will work very hard on our conventional drives in order to improve them, also in terms of CO2 emissions, by the way, also to improve them as concerns NOx, nitrogen oxides. So you see, if we as BMW Group, if we do not work across the entire range, there'd be no way at all to achieve the 2020 targets. And these are the issues, even after federal elections. These are things we want to discuss with the people in politics, but that very strongly affects the European level, really. Next question, please. Mr. Koenig, Börsenzeitung. Good morning, everyone. I have an additional question about Europe. What's the percentage points in the EBIT margin that the price pressure in the automotive segment has cost you in the first 6 months? And what's your guess for the total year 2013? Thank you, Mr. Koenig, Dr. Eichner. Well, the way it looks, the pressure we see in the markets, especially in Europe, in the other markets, the situation is not as tight. We're talking about 50 to 100 base points of revenues. This is around round about what we expect, and given our revenues, that's quite a considerable amount. Thank you. Next question, please. Mr. Borgmann, DPA. Good morning. I've got a question about China. At the moment, there's reports that the extension of your plant to a capacity of 300,000 is stalling because there's difficulties with the Ministry for the Environment. Now, the first phase, up to a capacity of 200,000 units, is that working well, or is there anything standing in the way of that? And how do you see the further ramp up to 300,000? By when do you want to have that completed? Well, let me clarify something here. The whole story begins with a publication by the Ministry for the Environment on various applications, and there's a website. And it said on that website, translated correctly, that our application was sent back to us. It was not dismissed or denied. It was sent back to us because we need to provide further details. To us, this is a very ordinary process. As part of an application process, by the way, the journalist there, he actually admitted that this was an incorrect translation. Now, the whole world is talking about a denial and we must not produce any cars anymore, but that's not the case. We will complete our application, we will supply the additional information required, and we will meet all the requirements. And I must say, in TG, we've got the most modern and sustainable plant in China ever. Water cycle, for example, 90% of the water there is recycled. And we've got corresponding proof, documentation as to the reduction of CO2 and energy. This is a very modern and sustainable plant, and of course we will meet the requirements of the federal, of the Ministry of the Environment in China. But it's a long process, and all the excitement, you know, we believe all this is based on an incorrect translation. Okay, thank you, Dr. Eichner. Next question, please. Mr. Schmidt, Dow Jones. Good morning. I'd like to ask, or perhaps you could tell us, what is the status of your capacity expansion? Where are you at the moment in China? And then the next question I'd like to ask, in the last month, there have been some problems that media reported about relating to the swell, or that the margins weren't as high. Is there a problem with politics in China, and do you have concerns about the developments over the past few months? Dr. Eichner again. Well, at the moment I don't see any problems with the politicians in China. We've been to that province only recently. We get great support for our initiative there, and across the range there is a consensus about how we want to proceed, consensus about how this location is to be developed. We really find full support there also from politics. I don't see that anybody wants to obstruct us. Now back to the figures. 500 million roughly will be invested, and in the midterm in the two plants, Dadong and TG, will have a capacity of 300,000 units, which has sufficient upscale flexibility once we should be needing to produce up to 400,000 units. This is what we're doing step by step, and that's undisputed, and that's something we'll be able to do. Thank you. Next question, please. If you would like to ask a question, please press 0 and 1. Okay, if there's no further questions, I'd like to thank you for having participated in our conference call. I hear there is another question. Yes, there's one question, Mr. Witt, Bayerischer Rundfunk. Mr. Witt, please. Yeah. I'd like to ask, what do you say about the statement of the Chinese Ministry for the Environment, if everything is going so well with margins and so on? Well, we can say that much. These statements are not new. They've been around for some time. And an evaluation of political statements made by ministers in China is something we will not make here. Thank you. Thank you. I'll ask again, is there another request to take the floor? Or can I all release you into the summer holidays? I hear there's no further questions. So on behalf of Dr. Eichner, Dr. Reithofer, I'd like to wish you wonderful summer holidays, and we'll be back in September at the IAA. Thank you also for your cooperation.
Ja, bis September. Danke.
See you in September. Thank you.